let's get back into the top story of the day in Kansas City. The Royals have made the decision to move on from Hunter Renfroe. We had Josh Vernier on the show earlier today, and we asked him, how much credit are you giving Royals management for making this decision? Now, some of you might make the sunk cost argument. I won't fight you very hard on that. I mean, they owed Hunter Renfroe what they owed him. They paid him $7.5 million to move on. I'm not really sure if Hunter Renfroe is going to continue to be a Major League Baseball player after this. He's a little bit older. He just cashed out at $7.5 million, and it went terribly wrong here in Kansas City. I don't know what his next move is going to be. We'll figure that out. But here is Josh Vernier. We asked him if he has given the Royals credit for the decision.
No, man, this is a big league baseball team that has aspirations of winning the division. Carry yourself like one. Put a team on the field that is better tomorrow than it is today. And by DFAing Hunter Renfroe, you open yourself up, both in the 40-man roster and in the 26-man roster, you open yourself up to grab someone on waivers that can offer you something. Renfroe, even with his arm. Now, that was his one last strength, and he was seemingly afraid to use it. I believe that J.J. Piccolo in this front office can find someone out there that can bring something to this team in that 13th spot, right? The 13th position player. They can find someone via waivers or in the AAA farm system of some other team. Going to give Nick Lofton an opportunity, and I'm all for it. Let's see what this... Let's see if he's just a light-hitting third baseman. You know, third time through at the big league level, let's see what Nick Lofton can do and how many opportunities he's going to receive. But give him credit if you want. But to me, in a uncapped sport like this, for a team that has the stated goals that this organization does, no, this was the proper move.
I think it's pretty simple. I don't know if you can share in the message that I think the Royals are trying to communicate to you, the consumer. I don't think that you can share in that message while simultaneously continuing to trot Hunter Renfroe out there. I'm not telling you things that you don't know, but the Royals' offense is a problem. It's a problem. You know that. I know that. They know that. And if you are in the solution business and not the identifying the problem business, one of the problems was the at-bats that you continue to give Hunter Renfroe. I mean, we are coming up with Hunter Renfroe on his 100th AB with the Royals. And it wasn't really showing much of a sign that it was going to potentially turn itself around. I mean, we're talking about he was at 99 ABs. He hasn't hit a home run. He has 4 RBIs. At this point, I don't even know if he is a positive defensive player for you at this point. So let me get this straight. You don't walk. You strike out. You don't drive in runs. You don't hit for power. And you're a below average defensive player for a team that has communicated very openly that they are trying to be a playoff team. I think it was going to be really hard for you to justify continuing to play him at the frequency in which you were. We're talking about a Royals team at this point that is 26th offensively. They are bottom five. These are the teams that have scored fewer runs than the Royals. The Rangers, the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Pirates. Just to put it into perspective, the Royals have scored 8 more runs than the Rockies. 8. And the Rockies are right now on pace to be the worst baseball team in the history of Major League Baseball. If you look at their record right now and also their run differential, the Royals have just scored 8 more runs than them. Maybe you're arguing, well, they play in Denver. The Royals have scored 8 more runs than the Chicago White Sox. Their offense is bad. Again, I'm not telling you something that you don't know about the Royals, but I'm simply pointing out you can't be on one side telling me, hey, you guys see the problems, you identify the problems, and you are trying to improve while also playing Hunter Renfroe. You cannot do both. And I think ultimately the Royals kind of came to the same conclusion that many of us have kind of come to a while ago. Hey, this isn't salvageable at this point. Sometimes you do a deal. Sometimes you think something's going to work. It doesn't work out. There is no shame from simply getting up from the table. Hey, you sat down at the table to play blackjack. You started playing. The table was cold. No one's going to fault you for simply getting up, taking the money that you have in your pocket and going to do something else or simply going home. I think the Royals ultimately had to do that when it came to Hunter Renfroe. You could not justify giving somebody who has no home runs this season, only has four RBIs, has 21 strikeouts and eight walks. He doesn't hit for average. He doesn't get on base. He doesn't hit for power. And a guy that you could maybe justify and spin it if he was a young player, you could justify and spin it if he was a player that was giving you something on the offensive side, but he wasn't giving you anything. It was time to cut your losses. I understand why the Royals signed him in the beginning. They thought it was going to work. He was a veteran outfielder who had had success in other places. He just didn't have that here in Kansas City.
Yeah, the track record spoke for itself as far as what you were hoping from him. All you were looking for was some extra base power and some quality leadership. You know, be a good guy inside the clubhouse. You know, keep the boys going. And Renfroe certainly did that. He's boys will be boys. He's a let's have a good time. Let's rock the mustache. He makes sure that the clubhouse enjoys being a bunch of big leaguers, and you need people like that. So, you know, that aspect of it, mission accomplished. But yeah, just no extra base power whatsoever this season. Yet to hit a home run, right? But four doubles, just nothing. And last year he had a few nice stretches that kept being interrupted by injury. You know, this likely the end for Hunter Renfroe, you would assume, but shoot, man, I was saying the same thing about Carlos Santana when they got rid of him a few years ago. You thought Jorge Soler was done when they got rid of him a few years ago, and both are still at it. Both are still playing well. I'll be surprised if Hunter Renfroe has the same fate.
You guys know that I love a good relationship analogy. I don't care what she does after we're done talking. She could go on and get married and start a family. That has nothing to do with the time that we spent together. It wasn't a good fit for me. It wasn't a good fit for her. It was in our best interest to move on. I'm doing my thing. She's doing her thing. God bless. I don't care what Hunter Renfroe does after leaving the Royals. I know that Jorge Soler went on to be this. I know that it doesn't matter. Hunter Renfroe, while he was here, gave you nothing. Gave you nothing. He's hitting 182 this season. He hit 229 last year. You don't trust him in the field. You don't trust him at the plate. What are we doing here? So, good luck to Hunter Renfroe. I mean, I don't have anything against the man. I've never met the man before. And if he goes on and he catches on with the Boston Red Sox and can be a critical bat for them coming off the bench, hey, great. Salute. I hope that happens. I don't think the Royals really had a choice. We are heading into the second portion of the season. Not the second half, but the second portion. I would say it is from opening day to Memorial Day. And all right, we're real. We're in this thing. Look at the American League right now. Basically, other than the Tigers, there has really been no separation in the American League. Everybody is all jumbled up. So now it is from Memorial Day to the trade deadline, to the All-Star break. You're going to see the teams that jockey for positions, the teams that make moves, the teams that push their chips in the middle of the table, and the teams that go for it. And we're going to see the teams that don't. I do think the Royals have shown you that they're willing to be a team that is, A, willing to cut its losses the way that they did with Hunter Renfroe. I also think they've shown you that they're a team that is willing to wheel and deal and make a move. I don't think we're at that portion yet. I don't think that there's a team that's a seller now, especially because so many teams are in it on May 23rd. But I definitely think on June 30th, we'll start to pick up those conversations about where the Royals are and what is realistic for them to go out and get. And until then, keep trying to rack up series. This is an important series this weekend against Minnesota. They're basically in the same boat as you. They've been playing better than you've been playing and playing better than a lot of people. But they are basically in the same boat that you are. You guys are the same number of games back of the Tigers. You guys have both played good ball in the month of May and have not really gained a whole lot of ground on the Detroit Tigers. So this is a really important series for the Royals. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when the Royals had that stretch where they played the Cardinals and some of the better teams. This is where you want to see the Royals really flex their muscle as a team that's a playoff team. Going on the road and taking 2 of 3 from this Minnesota Twins team would be a really good look for the Royals. You come back home next weekend. You've got the 3-game set starting on Memorial Day against the Reds. You got Big Slick weekend with the Tigers coming into town next week. The Royals can really do some moving up the standings if they can take care of business over the next 7 to 10 days or so. And that starts in their division coming up later today against the Minnesota Twins. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's Friday. Let's have a little fun. Rob and I disagree about something, and then we'll play this audio. We'll play the audio first. How about that? There is this running joke on social media that men can't do things. There's this social media page called The Guy with the List. And this guy just compiles women's clips of, I hate when guys do fill in the blank. It's actually kind of funny because some of the things are like, wait, you can't be cold? Like, that doesn't make sense. Everybody gets cold. So I saw this clip earlier today, and I want to play it for you guys. Now, this audio comes from Atlanta Sports Radio 680. They had a couple of ladies on the show, and they were saying that men, you shouldn't be able to wear jerseys to the game. Here's their logic.
Listen, just say it out loud that you don't have an athletic bone in your body.
Well, I mean,
just say it out loud. And you know what? I'll give you a little leeway. I'll let you wear that Michael Penix jersey on a
Sunday. At one point, we all had some athletic ability. Now, you two, I think this is coming from you two.
Well, all men think they have athletic ability. That's not true.
We did at
that's
one
not
point.
True. I have gotten in fights with men at bars like that. This man was like, I'm the most athletic person here. And I said, what'd you play in college? He goes, oh, well, I played D2, but quit after a year. And you're telling me you're more athletic than me, who played D1 for 4 years and won a Big 12 championship? Miss me with that.
Hey, you had to drop your championship ring on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we're going to sit here and go toe for toe.
Aren't you supposed to have fun at a game, at an event?
Isn't that the whole point? You don't have fun in polos or t-shirts.
That seems a little bit more dressy.
You can have fun and not cosplay.
Now that's a shot. That's a shot at every man walking around and driving around, taking care of his family, sitting in the sales office, or going out to try to make a buck to keep the lights on. Now y'all want to laugh and make judgment on guys.
We aren't laughing.
All right. Number one. I think that guy might be more athletic than you, but I'm not here to argue. Going to the bar to argue about athleticism with a woman I don't know sounds like a bottom three activity and doesn't sound like something I should participate in. And that's not something that I can endorse on this show. I can't tell you what to do in your free time, but being at the bar, talking to this woman that I don't know about her athletic ability and arguing who's more athletic. Nah, you got it. Sweetie, you know what? You're right. I don't even want to argue it. This is my question. And maybe as I've gotten older, you know, I'm like, I don't care. What's different about wearing concert merch than wearing a jersey? Because I'm assuming this lady has no problem with you going to the Taylor Swift show, buying a Taylor Swift t-shirt, and then walking around proudly wearing the Taylor Swift t-shirt. There's nothing wrong with that. We've all bought concert merch before. You're telling me that as a sign that I cheer for this team, you can't buy the Mahomes jersey, you can't buy the Travis Hunter jersey, and then wear the Travis Hunter jersey around as a sign I am a fan of this team. I don't have a problem with this. Now, I mean, I think everything is within reasons. I mean, I wouldn't be wearing football pads or anything to the game. I think that's a little crazy. But simply wearing the jersey or wearing a t-shirt that lets people know your affiliation and what team you cheer for, that seems part of sports. That's part of what you signed up for when you decided to be a sports fan. I love a good throwback jersey. Give me the old Mitchell and Ness. I'll wear that Bo Jackson jersey right now. I like the colors. I think it's a cool shirt. You can't wear a jersey to the game? Now, I do have some jersey rules. Some of you are still holding on to that jersey, and you know That jersey has seen too many washes. It's time to let it go. Hey, I know you love Tony Gonzalez. He was a great player. Bro, that jersey, it's on its last leg. It's time to trade it in and go get the Kelsey, brother. You know the jersey that I'm talking about. Hey, I know you love Derek Thomas. Rest in peace. They sell new Derek Thomas jerseys. Go get one. That jersey that you got, that champion jersey that you got, it's over for that jersey. I also think depending on, A, how long the guy was on the team, it might be time to give that jersey up. Is that guy now in the league playing for somebody else? Like, I do think there's some jersey etiquette, but I'm not against you wearing a jersey. I understand it. Hey, I'm going to the game. I'm going to the baseball game. Let me throw on my George Brett number 5. I don't got any issues with that. That shouldn't be out of bounds.
Me and you agree. No, I agree. There is jersey etiquette. Also, as part of the jersey etiquette, I would say there are certain body types that can wear certain jerseys and certain people that can't. You know what I'm not going to be caught dead in? A Chris Jones jersey. It would look goofy on me. It would look like, why are you wearing a D lineman jersey? That's not your body type. I also would say, just for me personally, I can't wear just a regular old basketball jersey because I don't have arms. Like, it's not a great look. So I'm all for etiquette.
You can't, but this is the thing, though. You can wear a jersey.
Over
you can't
a hoodie. Wear,
or you just got to put the T-shirt on underneath.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, but like, Rob, if you just came in here and you were just wearing a basketball jersey, just raw dogging it, no T-shirt underneath, like, bro, what's funny. Going on here? That's a cry for help, my brother. That's a cry for help. So, no, I'm with you. If you are just wearing the only way that you can wear a basketball jersey like that, you got to be going to the pool. That is the only
Lake,
time.
Body of water.
That is the only time I will accept you raw dogging the basketball jersey. But, yeah, if you're going to put a hoodie on or you're going to put a T-shirt on underneath, yeah, I don't got no problem with you wearing the basketball jersey. That's in bounds.
I also staunchly disagree with her thought that this is just cosplay. This is not cosplay. This is me supporting my favorite player on my favorite team. I have never once watched a Chiefs game and been on TV and been like, man, that dude has a 15 jersey on. It's just cosplaying as Patrick Mahomes. That is not at all what is transpiring. As long as you adhere to the etiquette, I have zero problem with people wearing a jersey. Now, I will say, the cut was a little long. She does go on to say, if you're at a bar and after a Braves game and you walk up to me in a full Acuna jersey and you're hitting on me, I'm ignoring you, which I also think is foul because if men are after a game wearing a jersey, that's the time to do it. We have a unique job, so we can do this. I guess we could wear a jersey in. But if you work at Cerner now, what is it, Oracle, and you're walking in on a casual Friday in a Bobby Witt jersey, okay, that's weird. That's a professional office place. But at the game or after the game, go crazy.
No, I'm on your side here. Somebody said the jerseys 20 years ago were better. Now they're bad quality and they're 10 times overpriced. Bro, it sounds to me like you just don't want to get a new one. I don't make the rules here. Now, there's some, if you still got the original in good condition, wear it. If you still got the Joe Montana from back in the day in good condition, wear it. You still got the Emmitt Smith in good condition, wear it. But you guys know the jersey I'm talking about. The paint's chipping a little bit. You know what I mean? It's give it up. It's time. You can go get you a new one. And the quality, you can wear the same jersey that they're wearing. They sell them right now. They sell them. I'm telling you, they do. Somebody just said, I'm a bodybuilder, so I wear jerseys like that. All that. Well, your body types look. Rob ain't got that kind of figure. Rob's not a bodybuilder. Rob doesn't need to be wearing those kind of jerseys.
I would also say there are more people who are just regular looking schmucks like me than bodybuilders. Like, if Cody Tapp had a college basketball jersey for the Ruse, that's got to have an undershirt. If he was a bodybuilder, we can have a different conversation. But I'm talking about generalities.
Someone says, you know those old guys wear those jerseys to flex being a longtime fan. Brother, I'm looking at you like times must be hard. I'd rather watch this game at home in a fresh jersey than here. It's over, brother. You know it's over for that jersey. It's faded. You got the yellow faded Priest Holmes jersey? The Reebok joint? Come on now. It's too much. It's too much. You know you're out of pocket. Please go down to Rally House and let's fix this. They got every what player you want. They got them right up there. Boom. Your problem is y'all getting those AliExpress jerseys. Y'all getting them Temu jerseys. It's too much.
I mean, disagree an iota here. I think there's a little bit of badge of honor of wearing a jersey for an off-the-beaten-path guy. Like, if you have a Jones or a Mahomes or a Kelsey, cool, whatever. But if you show up to the game with a Nile Davis, I kind of think you're a little bit of a real one.
No, that's not true.
I agree with you, though. If you got the paint chipping off your Kimball Anders, grow up. It's time to move on. But if you're walking around Arrowhead and you have a nice, crispy, you know, what's the Alex Okafor? Cool, man. Deep cut. I respect it. But no, the 1996 Marcus Allen needs to be retired.
Rob, you are telling me you've spent real currency on an Alex Okafor?
I'm saying if you have a deep cut jersey, I have a level of respect for you for spending money on a deep cut jersey. And I'm not talking like you have an FAU jersey. You bought that around draft time. That doesn't count. There was a hope and optimism. I'm saying you went out and thought to yourself, you know what I need more than anything? I need a Juan Thornhill. That I respect.
No, I'm saying that's out of bounds. To me, if you're going to wear a jersey like that, it's got to be somebody with a little, you know, it's got to be like, if you still wore Eric Berry, I can acknowledge that. If you still got a Jamal Charles in good condition, I can live with that. What made you go to the store and pick up the Nile Davis? What made you go to the store and pick up the Raheem Nunez Roaches? You shouldn't have been wearing that when he was on the team. You're telling me that you worked hard and you went to the store and spent real currency on that? No, I'm judging you. Some of y'all got the Sky Moore jersey. I'm judging you. I'm judging you if you wear the Sky Moore jersey. I'm going to be real with you. I'm judging you.
You're telling me if you're walking on Arrowhead on the, what was it, the Eagles game, you're walking on Arrowhead and you see someone in a very, very, very crispy, a beautiful, one of the top John Baldwin jerseys there is, you're not thinking to yourself, I have a little bit of respect for you.
No, I don't have any respect for you, honestly. I don't have any respect for you if I see you. You better be John Baldwin if I see you walking around with the John Baldwin jersey. Someone on the text line said, what do you think about t-shirt jerseys? I don't have any issue with that. I don't have any issues with that. I will wear one of those. I will wear one. Like, yeah, that's cool. Like, if you're going to the Yankees game and you got the Aaron Judge t-shirt on, I'm not gonna judge you for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, but if you're gonna go t-shirt jersey, then you gotta go tier one player. You can't go obscure t-shirt. You can't go obscure if you're doing that. If you're gonna wear the t-shirt, it better be the Mahomes, it better be the Kelsey, it better be the McDuff, it better be one of their top five players. I better not catch you wearing an off-the-beaten-pad t-shirt jersey. My brother, if you don't go down to Marshall's and get you a new one, if you don't go down to TJ Maxx and go get you a brand new one, go to Ross and get you a brand new one, why are you wearing the Steve Bono t-shirt jersey? No, that's unacceptable. Very unacceptable.
I don't think they sell off-the-beaten-path t-shirt jerseys. I don't think you can be like, man, I got a really, really, really good looking number 29 Kareem Hunt one. I don't think they do that.
All right. Just wanted to get your opinion. Text line 913-586-7965. Let me know what you guys think. I would love to get your opinion on all of this. What this woman said. This woman said that you shouldn't be allowed to wear a jersey. You know what? I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. I do think that you guys can wear a jersey. I am very much a fan of you wearing a jersey to the game. I do want to play this. We had Vern on the show not that long ago, and we asked Vern about the comparison that he made for Pete Alonso. That J.J. Piccolo made. Here's what Vern said.
First of all, I thought it was really cool that he even gave a name. I don't know if many general managers do that with a top 10 prospect in the sport and the biggest prospect he's had as a general manager. I thought that was cool. Yeah, if he's putting it out there, a guy that's a perennial home run champion, a perennial MVP, a cleanup hitter for a perennial division title contender, yeah, that's everything you want with a top 10 pick and everything the Royals more often than not have not received with those top 10 picks. So yeah, it's a great time. It's unprecedented. C-Dot, if you think about it, to have a team that has true, real, legitimate aspirations to win a division title and also one of the 10 finest prospects in the sport, that's never happened in the history of this franchise.
That was Josh Vernier earlier today. J.J. Piccolo, about 4 days ago, he was asked about Cags, and he made a comparison for a left-handed Pete Alonso. And, you know, Vern actually likes the left-handed Pete Alonso, you know, and I'm actually I'm not going to fault it that much when it comes to that. I have a quick NBA thought that I'd like to get to, and we'll get back to the Royals coming up here momentarily. The NFL, for whatever reason, I don't really understand it. The NFL gets to walk around with a blanket of parity without actually having parity. How do you think that parity is working for other teams in the AFC? One team wins the AFC all the time. In fact, if you haven't been the Patriots or the Chiefs in the last 15 years, I'm not really sure how fun the AFC has been for you. Sure, maybe you guys made the playoffs. I mean, at this point, almost half of the AFC makes the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't really know how much of an accomplishment that is, but all right, cool, whatever, you made the playoffs. But going into it, there aren't a lot of teams that we actually think can navigate this single elimination tournament and actually make it to the Super Bowl. The NBA actually has the parity that I think people think that the NFL has. Let me give you an example. Did you know that this year there will be a new champion in the NBA? That will be the 7th consecutive season that a new team has won the championship. To give you an idea of that time frame, from the drafting of Magic Johnson up until the end of the Lakers' third run, there were 7 teams that won the championship during that time frame. Think about how long of a period that is. From Magic Johnson leaving Michigan State to go to the Los Angeles Lakers up until the end of the Lakers' three-peat, there were 7 different champions in the NBA. They're going to now have 7 different champions in 7 straight years. And you are telling me in a system that people tell me is designed to help the big market clubs, Oklahoma City right now is the favorite to win the NBA championship. I mean, look at the markets that are still around. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Indianapolis, and the Knicks. Now, sure, the Knicks are a big market, the biggest market. The Knicks might end up going to the NBA Finals. Let's see how this goes. They will not be the favorite in the NBA Finals if they go up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just hear people really applaud the parity that exists in the NFL. And yes, the NFL has parity if your goal is to go from being a bad team to a mediocre team. I think the NFL has a lot of parity if that's your goal. If your goal is to go from the 2nd pick to the 17th pick, it is very, very feasible in the NFL. I don't really know how feasible it is to crack the top in the NFL. Think about it right now. We have basically all the information about the AFC. What would have to happen for the Super Bowl representative from the AFC to not be Kansas City, Buffalo, or Baltimore? We know that in May. I don't need to see any NFL games. I am telling you, one of those 3 teams will represent the AFC. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I might have told you that a couple of years ago, and Cincinnati ended up making it. But heading into this season, I feel pretty confident that the 3 teams with the 3 best quarterbacks are going to be the teams. I don't think you can tell me who's going to win the NBA championship next year. I don't think we have any clue. I mean, if I had told you, I probably would have said Boston. Boston didn't even make it past the 2nd round. If you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, they were the 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. They also did make it past the 2nd round. The NBA actually has the parity and unpredictable nature in the postseason that I think a lot of people expect from the NFL. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Rob and I have been debating something. Our debate has been this. we have been debating about what's the better weekend. Is it Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend? Now, I'm not going to make Rob's argument for him. But, Rob, what is your argument for Memorial Day weekend over Labor Day weekend?
I think the argument's pretty simple. Now, this weekend's weather notwithstanding, usually it is beautiful weather and is the kickoff to summer. School is out. Vacation season is on deck. Pool season is on deck. You got beautiful, nice weather. You can hang out on the patio more often. And it is just a kickoff to an incredible time of year, which is the summer. And everyone loves the summer. I know sometimes I'm like, it gets too hot. The summer is fantastic, and this is the unofficial kickoff to the summer. That is why it is the better weekend.
I can't disagree with what you were saying. I also consider Memorial Day weekend to be the beginning of summer. I consider the 4th of July to be like the all-star break, and I consider Labor Day to be the end of summer. My argument for Labor Day weekend over Memorial Day weekend is very simple. Football happens on one of the weekends. It doesn't happen on the other one. Yes, I will watch Royals and Twins this weekend, and I'm sure it'll be great. But you know what I get on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend? I get Alabama at Florida State. I get LSU at Clemson. You know what I get on Sunday night? I get Notre Dame at Miami. And then on Labor Day, actual Labor Day, when I'm thinking, man, you know what? Man, we got to go back to work, man. You know what I get? I get TCU at North Carolina this year on Labor Day. I get to see Bill Belichick possibly make his debut. It's not close to me between the two. Now, I understand that Memorial Day means different things for different people. I get that completely. For some people, this is a really, really important day to pay your respects, and I get that. For some people, Labor Day and Memorial Day kind of serve the same purpose. So if you were telling me that one day doesn't have football and the other day does have football, and outside of that, we do the exact same things, Rob, I'm taking the weekend that has football. That would be my argument for why I would take Labor Day weekend over Memorial Day weekend if I could pick out of the two.
So here's the thing. I love football the way you love football, and I'm always excited for college football Saturday to be back. That's what usually happens that weekend. But there are, what, another 12, 13 college football Saturdays. There are, what, 18 NFL Sundays on deck.
That first one's always special, though.
Actual Labor Day weekend is a closing of the summer. Pools are shutting down. It's a sign the weather's about to get colder. You're the king of hating cold weather, and you're picking the day that's the gateway to the freezing cold temps? School is back in session.
We still got a long way till we get to the freezing cold temperatures. On Labor Day, I got like 4 more months until it gets really, really cold. It's not as close as you're making it seem. You make it seem like it's Labor Day, and then the next weekend it's -5 degrees outside. That's not how it goes. And I don't care about the pools being open. That's not part of my life.
This is your inability to swim shining through. If you could swim a nice cocktail on the pool deck when it's 95 degrees out, catching a tan, oh, it's an incredible time.
Yeah, I don't need to catch a tan. God already gave me one. That's not... I don't need to go outside to be darker. That's not what I need to do. So no, I understand people go out to the pool and I don't mind being around it, but them shutting down the pool is that's not a sad point for me. No. Usually at that point, I've had a great summer. Summer's been a lot of fun. Man, I'm ready for football season. I've been watching fake football for the last month and getting all excited about this guy that we know isn't going to play for the Chiefs, but you want me to get excited about it, and now I get real action. I mean, Rob, in like a 10-day stretch, we get Fresno State at Kansas. You get your first game in your brand-new, lovely, renovated stadium. Iowa State goes on the road and plays K-State in Ireland. That's going to be a lot of fun. Missouri plays that Thursday, so the Thursday leading into Labor Day.
That game's fake football, by the way. Are they playing Wagner or Lindenwood?
They play Central Arkansas. Don't call it fake football.
Yes, that's fake football.
That's real.
That's a
football
game that you told me a couple weeks ago you don't even want played in August anymore. You want that removed from the August part of the schedule.
That's real football. That's Missouri building their case to being a team that's going to make the college football playoff. And then we get more. Yeah, no, late Labor Day weekend, it's the better of the two. I'm a big Labor Day guy. I love Labor Day. I think Labor Day weekend's one of the five best weekends that we have of the entire year.
So your whole take about Labor Day is built on the idea that you just want an extra day to not leave the house. Memorial Day, again, not this weekend with standing because of the weather, is a whole weekend to get out and do summer activities. Pool, lake, golf. Go. I'm sure kiddos have baseball
you
tournaments
this weekend.
You do all
those things on Labor Day, too. It's not like you don't do those things.
Oh, on Labor Day, I'm watching
you have the option of doing both.
No, on Labor Day, the only selling point is that, hey, last year Clemson played Georgia. I want to be able to watch that game. The big selling point is I got to stay in the house. I'm about to have 6 months of in the house. I'm about to have 6 months of Patagonia weather. Memorial Day is a kickoff. It's the excitement. The flashbulbs are popping for the summer experience that's on deck. What vacation am I going to take? What am I going to do? What is happening this summer? It's endless opportunity. In the fall, I know what my life is. It's day in, day out. It's the grind again.
If you had to set the over-under on Royals runs scored this weekend, what would you set it at?
11 and a half.
Are we counting Monday, too? So we're counting from today until Monday?
Okay, hold on. If we add Monday, 14 and a half.
You feel comfortable taking the over on the Royals at 14 and a half?
I don't think they're scoring more than three tonight because Pablo Lopez seems to own the Royals.
Who doesn't?
The Rockies.
Okay, well, they don't own anybody.
White Sox pitchers.
14 and a half is actually a really good line set. I would stay away from it at 14 and a half if I had the choice.
Yeah, I'm trying because I did the math. Three, if it's like three a game over the Twin series, then you add another three, four, maybe a spattering in there. Yeah, I think that's the number.
Yeah, 14 and a half just seems like a number that I should probably stay away from for the Royals this weekend on how many runs they're going to score. This is a really important series for the Royals. Like, I don't want to diminish. I know we're having some fun here. I mean, they are tied with the Twins right now in their division. Obviously, a lot of baseball left. But, I mean, this is the team that the Twins have been hot. They've won eight of their last 10. To go on the road and win this series right before a homestand. And this is a big homestand for the Royals. I'm really excited to go out there. You got Ellie De La Cruz and the Reds coming into town. So two of the more exciting players in baseball are going to be at Kauffman Stadium this week. And next weekend, I mean, it's probably turned into their biggest weekend of the year with Big Slick, especially if the weather cooperates. I think Mahomes and Kelsey are going to do the Big Slick
and it's the Tigers too. Like that's the actual baseball is going to have some juice on top of it.
I think they might actually sell out next Friday if the weather cooperates. Now, I could be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think Mahomes and Kelsey are going to both play in the game on Friday.
They are on the Big Slick list that Big Slick's been tweeting out. I don't know if that means they're playing in the game, but they're at least at the event in some capacity.
If you want any indication that Travis Kelsey ain't playing football next year, I think his involvement in Big Slick tells me everything I need to know. Hey, I'm going to do all the things this year because this could be my last time doing all of those things. I could be wrong. We'll look it up. But I do think Mahomes and Kelsey plan on playing in the softball game. That's on Friday. You're right. You also have the Tigers in town. So it's the team that's in your division, and it is the biggest weekend that the Royals have. This is a really important 10-day stretch for the Royals. Hopefully the offense does their part. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the top story with the Royals. Hunter Renfroe has been designated for assignment. He is no longer on the Royals. What does that mean? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's the drive.